Chapter 10, Temperance Work. Dot. Use influence for temperance. The advocates of temperance fail to do their whole duty unless they exert their influence by precept and example, by voice and pen and vote, in favor of prohibition and total abstinence. A part of the third angel's message, in our work more attention should be given to the temperance reform. Every duty that calls for reform involves repentance, faith, and obedience. It means the uplifting of the soul to a new and nobler life. Thus every true reform has its place in the work of the third angel's message. Especially does the temperance reform demand our attention and support. At our camp meetings we should call attention to this work and make it a living issue. We should present to the people the principles of true temperance and call for signers to the temperance pledge. Careful attention should be given to those who are enslaved by evil habits. We must lead them to the cross of Christ. In other churches there are Christians who are standing in defense of the principles of temperance. We should seek to come near to these workers and make a way for them to stand shoulder to shoulder with us. We should call upon great and good men to second our efforts to save that which is lost. Only eternity will reveal what has been accomplished by this kind of ministry, how many souls, sick with doubt, and tired of worldliness and unrest, have been brought to the great physician, who longs to save to the uttermost all who come unto him. Christ is a risen Savior, and there is healing in his wings. Lose no opportunity to unite with temperance work. I am sorry that there has not been a more lively interest among our people of late years to magnify this branch of the Lord's work. We cannot afford to lose one opportunity to unite with the temperance work in any place. Although the cause of temperance in foreign countries does not always advance as rapidly as we could wish, yet in some places decided success has attended the efforts of those who engaged in it. In Europe we found the people sound on this question. On one occasion, when I accepted an invitation to speak to a large audience on the subject of temperance, the people did me the honor of draping above the pulpit the American flag. My words were received with the deepest attention, and at the close of my talk a hearty vote of thanks was accorded me. I have never, in all my work on this question, had to accept one word of disrespect. Youth can be a great force for temperance. There is no class of persons capable of accomplishing more in the warfare against intemperance than our God-fearing youth. In this age the young men in our cities should unite as an army, firmly and decidedly to set themselves against every form of selfish, health-destroying indulgence. What a power they might be for good! How many they might save from becoming demoralized in the halls and gardens fitted up with music and other attractions to allure the youth! Intemperance and profanity and licentiousness are sisters. Let every God-fearing youth gird on the armor and press to the front. Put your names on every temperance pledge presented. Thus you lend your influence in favor of signing the pledge, and induce others to sign it. Let no weak excuse deter you from taking this step. Work for the good of your own souls and for the good of others. Support temperance. The temperance question is to receive decided support from God's people. Intemperance is striving for the mastery, self-indulgence is increasing, and the publications treating on health reform are greatly needed. Literature bearing on this point is the helping hand of the gospel, leading souls to search the Bible for a better understanding of the truth. The note of warning against the great evil of intemperance should be sounded, and, that this may be done, every Sabbath keeper should study and practice the instruction contained in our health periodicals and our health books. And they should do more than this, they should make earnest efforts to circulate these publications among their neighbors. Our relationship to the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. Dot. To unite with other women in temperance work, the Woman's Christian Temperance Union is an organization with whose efforts for the spread of temperance principles we can heartily unite. The light has been given me that we are not to stand aloof from them, but, while there is to be no sacrifice of principle on our part, As far as possible, we are to unite with them in laboring for temperance reforms. We are to work with them when we can, and we can assuredly do this on the question of utterly closing the saloon. Work with the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. We need at this time to show a decided interest in the work of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. None who claim to have a part in the work of God should lose interest in the grand object of this organization in temperance lines. It would be a good thing if at our camp meetings we should invite the members of the WCTU to take part in our exercises. This would help them to become acquainted with the reasons of our faith, and open the way for us to unite with them in the temperance work. If we do this, we shall come to see that the temperance question means more than many of us have supposed. In some matters, the workers of the WCTU are far in advance of our leaders. The Lord has in that organization precious souls, who can be a great help to us in our efforts to advance the temperance movement. And the education our people have had in Bible truth and in a knowledge of the requirements of the law of Jehovah will enable our sisters to impart to these noble temperance advocates that which will be for their spiritual welfare. Thus a union and sympathy will be created where in the past there has sometimes existed prejudice and misunderstanding. Mrs. S. M. I. Henry, leader of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. I would be very much pleased could I be seated by your side and converse with you in regard to the incidents of your experience. I have an earnest desire to meet you. It is not impossible that, even in this life, we shall see each other face to face. When I learn of the gracious dealings of God with you, I feel very grateful to my Heavenly Father that the light of the truth for this time is shining into the chambers of your mind and into the soul temple. Across the broad waters of the Pacific, we can clasp hands in faith and sweet fellowship. I rejoice with you in every opportunity you have of reaching the people. I praise the Lord that He has wrought for you, that the great physician who has never lost a case, has healed you, and given you access to the people, that you may set before many your experience of the loving kindness of a gracious Redeemer. I thank the Lord with heart, and soul, and voice that you have been a prominent and influential member of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. In the providence of God you have been led to the light, to obtain a knowledge of the truth. This light and knowledge you need to bring into your work, as you associate with women whose hearts are softened by the Spirit of God, and who are searching for the truth as for hidden treasure. For 20 years I have seen that the light would come to the women workers in temperance lines. But with sadness I have discerned that many of them are becoming politicians, and that against God. They enter into questions and debates and theories that they have no need to touch. Christ said, "I am the light of the world, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Lord, I fully believe, is leading you that you may keep the principles of temperance clear and distinct, in all their purity in connection with the truth for these last days. They that do His will shall know of the doctrine. The Lord designs that women shall learn of Him meekness and lowliness of heart, and cooperate with the greatest teacher the world has ever known. When this is done, there will be no strife for the supremacy, no pride of opinion, for it will be realized that mind, and voice, and every jot of ability, are only lent talents, given by God to be used in His work, to accumulate for Him, and to be returned to the giver with all the increase. We are expected to grow in capability, in influence, and in power, ever looking unto Jesus. And by beholding, we shall be changed into His likeness. The woman's work is a power in our world, but it is lost when, with the Word of God before her, she sees a thus saith the Lord and refuses to obey. The great and difficult thing for the soul to do is to part with its own supposed works of merit. It is not an easy matter to understand what it means to refuse self the best place of honor in the service of God. All unconsciously we act out the attributes of our own character and the bias of our own mind in the very presence of God, in our prayer and worship, in our service, and fail to see that we are absolutely dependent upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. Self is expected to do a work that is simply out of its power to do. This is the great peril of women's work in Christian temperance lines. The Lord does not bid you separate from the woman's Christian temperance union. They need all the light you can give them. You are not to learn of them but of Jesus Christ. Flash all the light possible into their pathway. You can agree with them on the ground of the pure, elevating principles that first brought into existence the woman's Christian temperance union. Behold, said Christ, I send you forth as a lamb among wolves. If he sends his disciples on such a mission, will he not work through you to open the scriptures to those who are in error? Cherish the fragrance of that love that Christ has revealed for fallen humanity, and by precept and example teach the truth as it is in Jesus. The Holy Spirit alone is able to develop in the human heart that which is acceptable in the sight of God. The Lord has given you capabilities and talents to be preserved uncorrupted in their simplicity. Through Jesus Christ you may do a good work. As souls shall be converted to the truth, have them unite with you in teaching these women who are willing to be taught, to live and labor intelligently and unitedly. From, written December 1, 1898. I am so glad, my sister, that you did not sever your connection with the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. You may have to sever this connection, but not yet, not yet. Hold your place. Speak the words given you by God, and the Lord will certainly work with you. You may see many things you do not approve of, but do not fail nor be discouraged. I hope and pray that you may be clothed daily with the righteousness of Christ. LLM 233, from, written March 24, 1899. I hope, my sister, that you will have an influence in the Woman's Christian Temperance Association to draw many precious souls to the standard of truth. The Lord is drawing many to an examination of the truth, and you need not fail nor be discouraged. Sow beside all waters. These are good waters in which you can sow the seeds of truth, even if you do not dwell publicly upon the prominent features of our faith. It would not be wise to be too definite. The oil of grace revealed in your conscious and unconscious influence will make known that you have the light of life. This will shine forth to others in your direct, positive testimony upon subjects on which you can all agree, and this will have a telling influence. From, written June 21, 1899. I was greatly pleased with your letter, in which you gave me the history of your experience with the WCTU. When I read it, I said, thank the Lord. That is seed sowing which is of value. I am pleased, so much pleased. The Lord has certainly opened your way. Keep it open, if possible. A work can be accomplished by you. Preserve your strength for such efforts. Attend important gatherings when you can. These occasions will be very trying seasons, but when the Lord gives his loved ones a special work to do, he sends his angels to be round about them. There are very many precious souls whom the Lord would have reached by the light of truth. Labor is to be put forth to help them to understand the scriptures. I have felt an intense interest in the WCTU workers. These heroic women know what it means to have an individuality of their own. I desire so much that they shall triumph with the redeemed around the great white throne. My prayers shall be in your behalf that you may be given special opportunities to attend their large gatherings, and that your voice may be heard in defense of the truth. I dare not give you advice in this important matter. You are on the ground and Christ is on the ground. Be assured that he will work with you and through you and by you. It ought to be a great encouragement to you in your work to think of the compassion and tender love of God for those who are seeking and praying for light. We should hold convocations for prayer to ask the Lord to open the way that the truth may enter the stronghold where Satan has set up his throne, and dispel the shadow which he has cast athwart the pathway of those he is seeking to deceive and to destroy. We have the promise, or rather, the assurance, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. From, written December 1899. The work you are doing to help our sisters feel their individual accountability to God is a good and necessary work. Long has it been neglected, but when this work has been laid out in clear lines, simple and definite, we may expect that the essential duties of the home, instead of being neglected, will be done much more intelligently. The Lord would ever have us urge upon those who do not understand the worth of the human soul. Christ our Savior appreciated the excellency of the soul. Our sisters have generally a very hard time with their increasing families and their unappreciated trials. I have so longed for women who could be educators to help them to arise from their discouragement and to feel that they could do a work for the Lord. And this effort is bringing rays of sunshine into their lives and is being reflected upon the hearts of others. God will bless you and all who shall unite with you in this grand work. If we can, my sister, we should speak often to our sisters and lead them in the place of saying go. Lead them to do as we should do, to feel as we should feel, a strong and abiding perception of the value of the human soul. We are learners that we may be teachers. This idea must be imprinted in the mind of every church member. We believe fully in church organization, but in nothing that is to prescribe the precise way in which we must work, for all minds are not reached by the same methods. Nothing is to be allowed to keep the working servant of God from his fellow men. The individual believer is to labor for the individual sinner. Teach this, my sister. You have many ways opened before you. Address the crowd whenever you can. Hold every jot of influence you can by any association that can be made the means of introducing the leaven to the meal. Every man and every woman has a work to do for the Master. Personal consecration and sanctification to God will accomplish, through the most simple methods, more than the most imposing display. Teach our sisters that every day the question is to be, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do this day? Each vessel consecrated to God will daily have the holy oil emptied into it, that it may be emptied out into other vessels. Every day we may be advancing in the Christian character, waiting and watching for opportunities to do the will and work of God. Every word uttered, every work performed in Christ's lines, will have an enduring preeminence. Speak the words that are given you of God, and the Lord will certainly work with you. Do not fail nor be discouraged, although you may see many things which you do not approve. I hope and pray that you may be clothed with the righteousness of Christ daily. Written to Mrs. S. M. I. Henry, March 25, 1899. Seeds of truth can be sown in WCTU. Only eternity will reveal accomplishments. I would not have any of our people so narrow that they should say to Sister Henry, sever your connection with the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. Sister Henry can sow the seeds of truth in this society. Not that she needs to give all the knowledge she has obtained on subjects that are objectionable. She can tell the glad tidings of salvation. Then when hearts have become warmed by the Holy Spirit's working, and the walls of prejudice begin to give way, she can present the truth point by point. This work for the WCTU has a wearying and discouraging side, and we should unite in helping our sister. Only eternity will reveal what has been accomplished by this kind of ministry. How many souls, sick with doubt, and tired of worldliness and unrest, have been brought to the great Physician, who longs to save to the uttermost all who will come unto him. Christ is a risen Savior, and there is healing in his wings. Death of Mrs. S. M. I. Henry brings a real loss to the cause of God. Mrs. Henry had a work to do among WCTU members. I feel very sad in regard to Sister Henry's death. The light given me by the Lord was that he had a work for her to do among the WCTU, and that her strength must not be absorbed among our people. She could do for the WCTU that which no other one in our ranks could do, and she must not allow our people to lead her to use her God-given capabilities upon them. The Lord would go before her in her work. Work through women of influence in tenderness and love, do not represent truth and the situation of things as so formidable that those belonging to the WCTU will turn away in despair. There are vital truths upon which they have had very little light. They should be dealt with in tenderness, in love, and with respect for their good work. Withhold your condemnation till you and our people have done all that can be done to reach them, not by the learned arguments of ministers, but through women of influence working as Sister Henry worked. Excellence of the soul. Sister Henry's whole soul was enlisted in the work of reform, and her influence was a savor of life unto life. Her personal labors we shall greatly miss. She has borne her testimony unfalteringly, yet judiciously. When convicted of the truth, her soul was glad, and without seeking to make excuse she came thankfully to the gospel feast. She rejoiced in the privilege of receiving precious truth, which makes the soul wise unto salvation, and in gratitude to God for his rich favors she felt herself under obligation to impart to others. As she had freely received, she freely gave. Faithfully did she testify to the truth. And she did this, not merely as a duty, as the work appointed her, but as a great privilege. It was her joy to make his ways known upon the earth, and his saving health among all whom her influence could reach. She was a true missionary, a gospel worker, and in heaven's record her name is written as a laborer together with God. How many souls will be saved through her precious service in drawing with Christ we cannot know. The seed she has sown will continue to reproduce itself, and will show a glorious yield in the day of harvest.